Are you on the machine where if you upload something, your CPU goes through the roof and it's garbage?
No. This is, I'm on my computer here, not...
in your Acorn. It's almost not fun to bollock someone when they can't respond.
Yeah. Why don't we start singing, haircut.
After a brief hiatus, welcome listeners to Bad Voltage Season 2, Episode 23, yes. Which I might add is the last episode of 2017.
It is.
It is. Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening to the show. We enjoy doing it, and it's always nice when, you know, someone actually listens to it. So,
yes, and God's honest truth, I shall not be sad to see the back of 2017. Hopefully next year will be a better year.
You have been full of vitriol in 2017, I will say that.
Although, I would point out this is not my fault. It's because the world's rubbish. But...
It's just that Google Reader still isn't back.
Google Reader still isn't back. That's it. That's the source.
That does seem to be a non-zero part of it.
It's the wellspring of all my vitriol.
Yes. So this show is very simple. We're going to start out with doing some news. We've got a bumper selection of news, which we're going to get through. And then what are we going to do next, Mr. Langridge?
Last year... we did predictions for 2017. We looked at what would come in the year ahead and gave our predictions for tech things that would happen. And now we're going to look back and assess our role as Nostradami, and see how we did.
I think it's more like Nostradoofus.
Don't give it away.
Yeah. Take a wild guess, listeners, how this is going to work out.
And now, for the last time this year... Bad Voltage.
Shall we get newsy?
Get newsy. Here it is.
There's a lot of news to get through. We always say that. It's not that there's a lot of news. It's just every time we record this segment, there's a lot of news to get through because we quite like doing the news. Is frankly the reason why.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
It requires. It's like micro thinking. Okay, you don't have to think about a big thing. You can think about something for 2 minutes and then move on. So
micro. Yeah, that's the reason why we like thinking.
Yes. All right. Well, Jeremy, kick us off with something.
Sure. Why don't we start out with something? Since you introed the section, we'll start out with something Apple-y, and it is that Apple announced that they just bought Shazam.
They have.
So the details are still coming out as we record this, but it looks like it's roughly around $400 million. They were raised $143 million in VC. And for those of us without an iPhone, I actually didn't know this. Shazam was already powering the music identification in Siri.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have two things about this. First of all, I'm now an iPhone user again. So I will hopefully get to experience this. But more importantly, I think, and I'm basing this on a couple of things that people have said, but I think this is a reaction to the Pixel 2. Because the Pixel 2 does, I didn't know this, it does music recognition. Now, the Google Assistant has always done it, you know, okay, yep. Google, what's this song? But it now does it on the phone without sending data to the cloud at all.
I did see that.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, because I said, how is this miraculous thing possible? But it doesn't do it for every song. As far as I can tell, what they've done is they've picked, you know, 50,000 popular songs.
Right.
And they basically put a subset of the fingerprint database on the phone.
I bet the fingerprint database is tiny.
Well,
It probably fits into a megabyte.
It's not that small. It's hard to know exactly how much data there is because Shazam's algorithm and so on is proprietary, but Echo Print, which was built by the Echo Nest, that was an open source. Well, they, you know, the fingerprinting software was all open and everything. The database that it talked to wasn't. but there was an open source subset of the database, which was, and it's okay. And so you could do that, right? I mean, the big problem with Echo, right. The big problem with EchoPrint was not that the software didn't work; it's that someone needed to take 70 million tracks, which have come out since 1950, and feed them all through the EchoPrint fingerprint thinger, which no one had done because, you know, you obviously need access to the music library for that, and you can't get licensed for it.
How much did they pay him? 400 million?
Like, yeah. I said, the details aren't concrete yet, but the reports seem to be roughly 400 million, yeah.
And Jesus. If anyone's doing this for an actual app, Shazam are clearly the leaders, right? I mean, a lot of people are just doing it through either Siri or Google Assistant, I don't think their tech is
the best. I think their name recognition is
the
best.
Yes, sorry, that's exactly what I meant. Right? I mean, I don't use Shazam anyway. I use SoundHound for this.
But that's because, when I said their tech wasn't the best, I think theirs is.
Yeah, SoundHound is. I mean, yeah. SoundHound can recognize when you sing a song to it and so on. It's really clever.
Yeah. How many people actually use this feature is what I'd like to understand.
I've never seen anyone else do that.
Shazam's biggest partnership was with Spotify and Apple. Like I said, it was already built in, so they're now driving people to Spotify. I think they would rather drive people to Beats Music / Apple Music / whatever they're going to call it tomorrow.
That's a good call. Yep. They're buying a bunch of name recognition, basically, and the ability to integrate the technology the way they want without having to license it to do so.
I don't understand a world that we live in where it's kind of interesting, right? It's a cool thing, being able to recognize music. Like, I do this, you know, occasionally if I'm out, like, I'm out shopping with Erica and there's a cool song playing in a store that we're in and I'll do it. But 400 million, if that's the figure, that just seems mad.
Did you know that's a job? Do you ever notice that when you're in certain stores, they have a surprisingly good selection of indie music that you probably don't know what it is?
I've heard some amazing music.
So those curated playlists are actually a person's dedicated job to understand the store's brand and to find indie acts that fit in within that brand so that the store can seem cool and like, oh, I heard that song in whatever, H&M before. I heard it anywhere. They're the trendsetters.
I can believe that.
So there's an actual industry around that. I didn't know that until then.
You would think that if you were... if you're a label or something, then you'd pursue people like that to say, hey, put our cool indie song in your playlist, rather than pursuing radio stations or whatever, or possibly in addition to pursuing radio stations and whatever. Right. That would actually be a legit target. Because it used to be just, you know, 101 Strings Do Mantovani Muzak Bollocks. But now... but now, yeah, absolutely. It's all very... Yeah. Very different now.
The whole psychology of you know, it's like in it's like in Las Vegas when they custom make scents for certain hotels.
Oh yeah,
and it really does make a difference.
Oh, it does. The lighting color is all curated, and the sound and the smell and the
it's interesting and weird at the same time.
Yes, it is remarkable how much knowledge there is about how people shop. You know, 63% of people turn to the right rather than turn to the left when they first enter a shop and stuff like that. And there's loads and loads of knowledge about this, but most people don't know that it's happening, don't know how much they're being influenced.
The degree to which you are being manipulated is probably a little saddening, but...
Yeah, I mean, this is... when people say, oh, but it's terrible that we're being influenced this way by online advertising and they're capturing our data and doing deductions with it, that is, in fact, terrible. But I think half the thing is that it's not actually that big a difference to what was happening before. It's just we didn't know that it was happening before. It's been happening since the 60s.
Yeah, every industry does this in every form, so...
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Well, on that cheery note, why don't we go to a new news item?
I have one. Let me pick one of these. This is a bit cheerier. Turns out that Nintendo's new games console, the Switch, which I think a lot of people poured a giant bucket of derision all over when it came out, because, you know, Sony had released the PS4 Pro. The new Xbox is coming out, all the rest of it. They sold 10 million Nintendo Switch units in 9 months.
Yeah.
Which could potentially outdo the Wii, which was a particularly well-selling games console.
Yes.
So, unbelievable. One thing I quite like about Nintendo is I like how they're always trying to think a bit differently about gaming.
Yes.
They're not just shipping the same old shit with faster graphics cards.
Yeah.
But the problem is that when you experiment, you get things wrong, right?
Hence the Wii U and so on. And it does mean that all the people who've got a PS4 mock you for being filthy casuals if you've got a Nintendo.
Well, I was going to say, it's definitely clear that Nintendo has staked their flag in the casual gamer area of the arena.
But that's because they're, you know, it's more interesting that way rather than being someone who stays in the whole time and plays first-person shooters. Speaking of going with the PS3, no intention of upgrading whatsoever. Yeah.
Where did you get that PS3 from, Langridge?
From you. It was very kind of you.
I've still not received enough credit for this thing that I gave you in 10 years.
I believe John O should get the credit. Now, a cynic would say that it was too heavy to carry all the way across the Atlantic. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think it was a gift from my friend, so thank you.
It was. That was
exciting. But yes, fair play to Nintendo. I do not have a Switch, and I don't think either of you do either, do you?
No.
I think it's cool, though, and it's one of those... I like what they're doing, and I approve of this, and it's nice that the market's reacting to that.
I like that they're doing... I like that things like this are rewarded. It seems... I mean, the advert when it came out, first of all, was all, you know, you look across from your posh flat and you see someone else having a roof party and you take your Switch controller over and play, and like, you know, dude, it's not like that at all. But
if you showed up to a roof party with a Nintendo Switch, you are not going to get invited to any more roof parties.
No, exactly. 16 bottles of Blue Wicked, maybe. Nintendo Switch, no.
It's more like one bottle of Blue Nun. All right, Langridge, give us some sugar.
Next news item. This one is not really news. It's just I just thought it was terribly amusing. In Windows, there's a thing called AFD.sys, the ancillary function driver.
Right? Oh wow, this sounds exciting.
Yeah, but it's actually called that because apparently one of the team leads of the Windows Network team got told just before final release of whichever version he showed up in 98 or something, said that they had to write another driver in kernel mode. And he went, "What, another fucking driver?" So it's called AFD.sys, which I thought was actually quite amusing.
I was going to say, did not know this. Lol.
It's not particularly news, and I don't even know what AFD.sys actually does. But I just thought
real?
Yeah. I just thought
that actually happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Raymond Chen revealed this. I just thought it was an amusing story.
I was going to say, am I searching for AFD.sys right now as we speak? Yes, I am.
Jono, give us another news item.
All right. It turns out that this is an interesting one. The French government are planning to ban students from using mobile phones in their primary, junior, and middle schools. Mm. So kids will be allowed to bring their phones to school, but they'll not be allowed to get them out at any time until they leave, even during breaks. Now, I'm in two minds about this. On one hand, just for me, the notion of a kid having a mobile phone is weird to me.
Yeah, okay? granddad. That's not...
That's just odd in some ways to me. But I also don't like it. I'm getting increasingly infuriated at how wedded to devices people are.
Yeah.
People being present in conversations. So on one hand, I think it's good that a cell phone is an amazing tool that can be used for great educational benefits. But on the other hand, them not disrupting actual time learning from teachers. So I don't know what to think of. I think broadly, I think this is a good thing. But what do you guys think?
I have a couple of comments. A, I'm glad you're finally coming around to what I said, I think 2 years ago, that people need to look up from their conversations and have conversations with people. That's good. Two, I'm surprised Jack does not have a Pixel 2 for some reason.
Shut the fuck up. Okay. That was just mean, Gus. Okay.
If he had a Pixel 2 XL, it would be taller than he was.
I tell you what. On a side note, though, I have to say this: a bit of credit for Amazon. We got Jack one of those Amazon Fire Kids tablets because he had a Leap Pad that my parents got him for Christmas, which is good, but it's a bit limiting in what it can do. And Amazon have done a really nice job with those kids' tablets. So if those of you who listen to the show have got kids, it's it's a really nice device. It's got books, it's got games, it's got all kinds of stuff on. And if anything happens to it in 2 years, if it breaks in any way, shape, or form, they replace it.
Oh, nice.
So
that's pretty
neat. It was cheap and it was good. But anyway, carry on.
So yeah, Jeremy,
what do you think about this news then?
So, I'm curious, you said you're of two minds about it. What do you see as the potential downside? I mean, they can still bring it to school, so it covers emergencies, it covers if you need to get in touch with the kid or the parents, or which do seem like legitimate use cases to me. What do you see as the downside?
Well, putting the emergencies to one side, but that's a component of this, is like, it doesn't cover emergency if it's locked in a cupboard somewhere, right? If, you know, but I don't know, that's not the concern for me. Is I think there is something... There is something about this. I admit this is idealistic, but if kids can use it as a tool, as a component of their learning, I think having those devices there is good. But I also appreciate the fact that most teachers couldn't influence that it's only used as a tool for learning and not just a tool for frickin' Instagram.
Right.
Right. So like, so as an example, at Jack's school, they have computers, they have a little computer room and he uses to use a mouse and all that kind of stuff. So technology is used as a tool for learning, but that's a controlled environment. And right. I get you can't do that with these devices. So like I say, I think I'm pretty much in favor of this, but what do you guys think? What do you think, language?
I can see the argument for doing this. On balance, I think it's a good idea. But I'm worried how much of the fact that I think this is because I haven't properly adapted to the new reality. Right?
Right.
Because this whole idea of, people should look up from their phones. I think we are possibly building a world in which this is going to sound ridiculously idealistic and science fiction-y, but bear with me. But we're building a world in which people are kind of symbiotic with the device, right? But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It looks like a bad thing to us because we grew up without it. Douglas Adams once said that anything that happened before you were 30 is a natural part of the world and you don't understand why anyone would ever stand against it. Anything that happens after you're 30 is a bizarre encroachment on everything that is sacred. And I think he's right. I think it's... I think a world in which we are connected the whole time and that instinctively becomes part of your learning is an important world to build. I do not know how you stop kids just spending all the time on Facebook and not doing maths.
I massively disagree. I think that just the effect on narcissism is bad enough. We were just talking about Facebook in between recording segments, mm-hmm. and it's just such a giant vessel for narcissists. And I just don't think it's healthy.
Why?
I think having time.
I think all three of us have very strong opinions on this.
This sounds like a segment to me.
It does. Okay. It sounds like a segment we've already done.
We should revisit it. We did do this.
Okay, stick a pin in that one and carry on.
Yes, Jeremy.
Oh, let's see. Did you see this 6-year-old kid who unwraps toys that he receives from his parents on YouTube? They just Google just announced the top 10 YouTube earners. He's pretty high up the list, and he makes over $11 million per year.
I know.
Now it says, since he was 3, Ryan's parents have been capturing videos of him opening toys, playing with them, and quote-unquote reviewing them. And it's called Ryan's Reviews. And it also adds that his last name and his place of residence are a closely guarded secret.
Yeah, which is good.
You know what?
$11 million a year.
I can completely, completely see this because I know, Jeremy, you don't have a kid, but you've got a niece, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, Neve was too young, really, I think, to see this kind of stuff on YouTube, right? But it's amazing. I think a lot of parents just, you know, when you're tired or you're cooking or whatever, you just stick your kid in front of YouTube, and there are hundreds and thousands of these videos. They've all got millions of views. There's this one woman called I think it's called like Disney something, I forgot what her name is. She's got this very soothing like Latino voice, and she just opens up these toys, and they're like surprise eggs and stuff like that. And apparently she makes a ton of money. So
I think this ties in interestingly with the news item Ack brought up either last show or 2 shows ago about the odd, bizarre...
The creepy videos.
About the disturbing, crazy videos, yeah.
They're cracking down on that, right?
They are.
They hired 10,000 additional people, which, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's reassuring to see that they are cracking down. It's a bit unreassuring to see that the way to get people to listen to a thing is to write a really, really popular Medium post about it. but that's how influence works in the modern world, as far as I can tell. So there you go.
At least it's not a bloody tweet.
We should start a popular YouTube channel because the world's top 10 YouTube stars earned $130 million last year.
See, but I mean, I think, on the one hand, you think, oh, for God's sake. But on the other hand, that's actually great, in my opinion, because they didn't need a TV channel to decide to bless them about it or to advertise in the middle of the Super Bowl to make this happen, right? It's what we always talked about, the whole disintermediating, cutting out the middleman, user-generated content stuff. This is how it's supposed to work, right?
The one thing I think where YouTube is still missing out on a trick here is that I think by and large, YouTube is still... I think there's a lot of people who very casually watch YouTube videos. Like they get a link from a friend and they go and watch it, right? They never subscribe to anything.
Yeah.
They don't log in regularly. Now, speaking personally, I'm a huge fan of YouTube. I subscribe to a bunch of different channels and I watch it every day, primarily when I'm having lunch. And I think the part of the problem here is, with the exception of things like Rokus and Chromecasts, YouTube still hasn't really transitioned into a place for the general consumer. It's still difficult and weird, like even just attaching your Google account to a Roku, where you got to type in the code and you got to know what to do and how to find it. I think when they crack that, I think it's going to have a huge effect because there's so much great content on there. I mean, I'm finding myself personally watching YouTube more than watching Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, I do by miles. Yeah.
Really?
So I just think there's more interesting, more timely, more relevant content across many different
I'm going to sound like an appallingly attentionless child here, but the idea of sitting down and watching a thing for a whole hour, you think, oh my God, that's an hour.
Well, it's clear where your opinion on social media comes from if you think an hour is a long time to do something. So it's
apart from Sherlock, that's fine.
So that was a fascinating insight into the mind of Stuart Langridge right there.
let's not do that again. So I have a new story I'd like to share. Apparently, based upon the FCC's own data, the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, which sounds like a great place to work, has found that 129 million Americans only have one option for broadband internet service in their area, which equals about 40% of the country. And of those who only have one option, about 50 million are limited to a company that has violated net neutrality in some kind of way.
Presumably that company, though, wrote a tweet saying, we promise we're never going to do this, right?
I believe that about as much as I believe Comcast won't call me again. I'm obviously very much in support of net neutrality. I'm not an activist around net neutrality at all. But that is worrying to me. So,
and I did find it remarkable. I didn't appreciate until this whole conversation started up this time. I knew that the ISP market was limited in the States, but I didn't realise quite how limited it was. The idea that there's literally no one else you can go to. You know, people will be like, I'm with some large net neutrality violating company beginning with C and complaining about it. And I say, well, just pick someone else. They're like, I can't. What do you mean you can't?
I think the net neutrality discussion now is disappointingly a little bit missing the point in that I think I would be happier if we just fixed the root issue, in which case net neutrality would be less of a problem, I think, which is fixing the competition at ISPs, which is one layer, I would say, below the net neutrality issue. Yes. There's a bunch of laws now that not too long ago, within the last decade, and I don't want to get into the minutiae of this. I've worked at telecoms for a very long time, and it's probably more interesting to me than it is actually interesting. But for a very long time, municipalities wanted to offer broadband under the auspices of, if we have great broadband, more people will move here, more people will pay property tax, etc. So they weren't necessarily interested in making money on the broadband. They were just getting interested in getting people to move there. And the large ISPs rapidly and vociferously moved to block that, to the point that in some municipalities, the municipality running broadband is illegal. So we need to fix that issue, I think, and this is more of a distraction from fixing that issue.
It does feel slightly like the net neutrality stuff is, okay, what we're going to do is award people monopolies and then come up with a law saying you're not allowed to do abusive things once you've got a monopoly.
Yes.
And the thing to actually do is stop awarding people monopolies in the first place.
Do you think it's that, I mean, from your experience, Jeremy, is it that, or is it that, you know, on one side of the US, you've got a bunch of people who like cappuccinos, on the other side of the US, you've got a bunch of people who like frappuccinos, and in the middle, you've got a lot of trees. Right? And that there isn't the infrastructure.
So the original telecom monopoly is very much because it is very difficult to make a profit running telecom services in rural Missouri.
Right.
So that exactly. they wanted to award the companies that did, which I get. I don't know if the answer to this is once we move to wireless, everything, a lot of those issues, last mile issues, just go away. But it's an issue that I think
magical balloons are going to solve this problem.
Or WiMAX antennas, where you put one in and then you can be 30 miles away from it and still connect to it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Google were doing that balloon thing. I thought Facebook.
Yeah, was it Google
balloon thing?
The balloon thing was just you had. Wasn't that you just had a USB stick with Wikipedia on it and put it in the cloud and then. And then you could read Wikipedia, but it wasn't like a real internet connection or anything. That was outer net, wasn't it? I'm not making this up. This is actually a thing.
This is not a thing, is it?
It is.
Didn't we talk in the show a little while back about...
It was a
Facebook
long while back. This is like show 9 or something, I think.
Right, yeah.
Where Google was balloons because it was called Loon, and Facebook was drones, I think, or...
Facebook was, but it was Facebook like, were it was basically outer net, were they? Or was that someone else?
But it was basically like repeaters, right, for the internet, so everybody could have access to the internet.
That was
it
wasn't Google Loon.
It wasn't just sticking a USB
there were two different things. The balloon one was basically attaching Wi-Fi routers to balloons, putting them all over the place, essentially, right?
A bit of a simplification.
I was going to say.
Fine, all right, Einstein. We'll look for your LaTeX paper on this later on, right? But the other one was it collected a selection of stuff from the internet, so you could connect to it and read that stuff, but it wasn't an actual connection to the internet. It was essentially a manually populated cache. It had things like all of Wikipedia in it. This is a real thing, and we talked about it in a previous show.
We did talk about it like midway through season one, I think.
Yeah. Anyway,
I just don't know what to believe anymore.
Anyways, also, I discovered that apparently, you know, the people who live in the flyover states don't like it when you call them flyover states, it turns out.
They don't. Of course they don't. No. That's why it's like people who live in Birmingham don't like people to refer to it as the UK's largest open prison.
This from the man who just described America as being places that like cappuccinos, places who like frappuccinos, and just a load of trees in the middle.
We'll gloss over that. I like the Midwest.
Next piece of news. This is another slightly amusing one, actually, rather than actual news. But someone reported that when they typed man something or other, to read a man page, and you did it just after midnight, it printed gimme, 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 right? Because of gimme, gimme, gimme a man after midnight.
Oh, jeez.
And it turns out it was just a joke. It happens if you do it in one particular minute, just after midnight, which they just put in for lols, right? About 8 years ago. And it took people this long to notice, but someone was like, when we run our script,
that's your news.
This appears
is that
in
the news?
The Alpha. I thought it was amusing, and at least partially because it turns out the person responsible, who has now fixed it by taking this out, is a friend of the show, Colin Watson.
Did he do that?
Well, someone suggested it as an amusing idea, and he chucked it in like 10 years ago because it was hilarious, which it was. But now he's gone, you know what? Joke's probably come to an end now, and patched it back out again.
That's pretty funny.
See?
Also, Colin Watson is also just... Colin Watson is a brilliant human being.
He is. So, he is. Yep. Hero. Yep. So, but I just thought that was... It was a little, you know, nine-hour wonder that blew up, and I thought it was cool.
I like that, you know. I like those little kind of little gags that you get. Kind of like when Aaron Buckover blocked my music collection out.
Yes, that was excellent. In Banshee, it wouldn't work if your music collection was called Jono's World of Metal.
The wonders of open source.
Yeah, this is collaboration in action. Do we have anything else of any apparent interest?
I don't think so. You have any more, Eck?
No, I think we're good. There was one weird one. You remember when Uber got hacked? Oh, it turned out that Uber had been hacked and they paid all the blackmailers to get the hacked data back. Yeah.
Yep.
It turns out that, and this is kind of relevant to some of the stuff you've been doing, I think, Jono, that to further conceal the damage, the Uber executives made it appear as if the payout had been part of a bug bounty. Right? And this sort of thing kind of tarnishes the name of bug bounties rather, I think.
Yes.
Doesn't it just tarnish Uber, which is already pretty tarnished?
I'm not sure Uber can be tarnished anymore. It's to the point where it's entirely rotted away at this point, hasn't it?
I think that might be a bit of an exaggeration.
Well, you know, we can only hope. Maybe that'll be my prediction for 2018.
That Uber going to rot away?
That would be nice.
You should
it?
Definitely have that as your prediction.
I should.
Yeah, because that's of all the things that are totally going to happen, that's totally going to happen.
Either that or they're going to change their name to Tarnish.
Well, no, I mean, I think Uber finally disappearing would be A, much better than, and B, about as likely as Facebook building a VR version of Facebook.
They're building it. It just hasn't been shit.
And that's the end of the news.
The first thing you can do in Facebook spaces is play Duke Nukem.
Astute listeners may notice that we sometimes record segments in a different order to what they're in the show.
sure. You see? That's fine. Don't worry about it. Yes. So that's the end of the news. Anyway. Let us crack on. Yeah. So last year in Series 2, Episode 1, we did our predictions for 2017. Now, historically, in the past, you may have got the impression from the Bad Voltage team that if we told you it was sunny, you should go and buy an umbrella. But no, right? This year, we'll see how we did in 2017. So our predictions from last year, let's start with... Now, I'll tell you what, actually, what we should do, I think, we should have like a little scoring thing. Yeah.
Oh, like a tally, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you get a prediction right, you'll hear this noise.
Okay.
And when you get one wrong, you'll hear this noise.
Can I make a prediction about how many we're going to get right and wrong?
No predictions just yet. So we shall see. So let's go with Jono first.
Oh,
Jono,
great.
What was your first prediction?
My first prediction was that Google will shut down Google Plus.
And what's the noise?
Given the noise, I believe the verdict here is yes.
Is there a different noise for being less correct?
Sure. There's not graduations of that noise, though.
Maybe we play it twice. If you're like a negative amount of correct, like Jono is here,
you start hearing like Satan. Yes, no, it appears that Google Plus does seem to be still running.
God's honest truth, yeah. I've seen, even given the fact that this time last year we'd seen quite a big drop-off and people were stopping using it and so on, that's done nothing but continue this year. I mean, I barely even use it anymore. I don't start it up or anything like that most of the time. If it sends me a notification, I'll go and look. But I don't routinely check it all the time like I used to.
Yeah, I post to it, but I check it like every couple of days, but there's nothing ever interesting there.
No.
So it's a shame because I think it's a really nice platform. I think Google did a really nice job. Their circles thing, though, when they launched it, were just universally confusing.
Yes.
I think part of it, and it solved a problem that no one had.
I think it did solve a problem that still needs to be solved in a good...
Oh, yeah?
It was implemented a little confusingly at the beginning, and for whatever reason, people just never picked it up from there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's a bunch of logical stuff which ought to happen around the circles. The big thing is using circles as exclusionary. So not just I care about this circle, but I'd like to put people in this circle and then cross them out from my timeline or something. And they never did any of that.
Yeah.
The whole idea of, so you have in your head this thought of, I'll put people into different categories and then I'll configure my front page to show me these people and these people, but not these. And that would have been really handy if the whole thing is a kind of Venn diagram. But what they did was about 0.8% of the amount of power it could potentially have given you, and then never did any of the rest.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, no, there are certain things in the world that I appreciate I will never, ever understand, right? I will never understand or ever remember the difference between a noun, a pronoun, an adverb, and whatever the other one is. Okay. I just always forget
adjective,
that.
Verb, conjunction. Yeah,
I'm not good at that stuff.
Professional writer thing, and all.
Well, you know, that's. Skip over that. And then the other thing as well is that, you know, how circles worked in G+ and how Google Wave worked.
I never Google Wave. Wow. Yeah. There's never a blast from the past.
I was going to say, we get a Google Buzz joke in here somewhere.
So, yeah.
I don't even remember what Google Buzz was.
No.
What was
you don't
Buzz?
Remember Google Buzz?
What was Google Buzz? I remember Wave.
It was like their original social networking. I think it was called microblogging when microblogging was a thing.
Yeah.
Blimey. Well, yes, there you go. So, yeah, Google Plus still going down the path. And they're obviously going to pull the plug on it at some point. And I am mildly surprised it didn't happen this year.
I actually don't think they are. I think what they're going to do is I think they're going to repurpose it more towards companies.
Dude, they killed Reader, which everyone who used it liked because it wasn't popular enough.
Yeah, well... who am I to predict, frankly?
I think part of the reason Google Reader got killed, though, is because no one internally would be its champion, where I think there's people invested enough in Google Plus to care.
Maybe, yes. I suppose, yeah. I mean, and part of the problem with Plus from the beginning was they went, okay, we're going to take on Facebook, so we're going to tie Google Plus into absolutely everything.
Right, yeah.
And then they went, oh, it hasn't taken off despite that, let's kill it again.
So, moving on. My second prediction, 2017 is, quote, the year of the electric car. I said that a quote, now I'm trusting your quotes here, language.
Things that I have put in quotation marks are things you actually said.
Right. And I just don't know if I actually believe you. You have known form in bullshit, okay? So apparently what I said was, quote, a significant number of new models will come out this year, including from companies who don't currently have an electric model.
And, that one, if I remember right, if people actually decide to check up on me, I think that one's a slight paraphrase, just because I think we had a big argument in the middle of it. But that was the sentence, essentially.
I also said that Tesla will have a down year.
Yep.
Basically, electric cars will get up to the edge of the chasm.
Yeah, we talked about, crossing the chasm, and I said, oh, do you mean electric cars are going to cross the chasm? And you said, no, not this year. But they'll get up to the point where they're ready to cross the chasm.
Yep.
That was your prediction.
It turns out that the verdict is...
Again, that's two for two.
John, in the future,
says anyone's going to have a bad year, buy the stock. Because when he said that, I looked it up. The stock was just about $200. Today, $325. So,
yeah, I'm good at this.
Jono, do you think Bitcoin's going to go down this year? Already at $16,000. I heard someone say, and I don't know whether... this is the point. I don't actually know whether they're taking the piss. Someone actually said that they'd heard credible rumors that Bitcoin would hit six figures, $100,000.
Well, at some point over the next year. Credible.
I'm so sick of people talking about Bitcoin. It just bores me to tears now. Yeah, whatever. It's freaking internet money. Anyway,
I would like to remind you, Jonathan, that this is a quote from you. This idea was spawned by, quote, a discussion I had with a stranger in a bar in China, end quote. So, that might explain the swing and a miss.
I don't even remember that conversation.
Yes. So
that's
as far as I can
part
tell,
of the reason.
as far as I can tell, assessing your prediction, no company who didn't have an electric car has brought one out. All the major manufacturers already basically had an electric model, which Jeremy pointed out in the show. Apart from Hyundai, they'd announced by this time last year, but they haven't brought it out. That came out in 2017. Everyone's got one now, and Tesla didn't have a down year because they had an up year. The yes. exact opposite of what you suggested. And you also said, well, this is a very hand-wavy kind of a thing, but basically electric cars will go huge and we'll all recognise that. And that doesn't...
I would argue that electric cars are now legitimised.
I don't think they're any significantly more legitimised than they were 12 months ago.
I would disagree with that. I think they're definitely more legitimised, whether people are going out and buying them. The mistake that I made in that prediction is, of course, how often do people buy cars, right?
Yeah.
So you know, if you bought a petrol car 2 or 3 years ago, so yes. it's an older petrol car, you're still going to have it for a while, right?
And I don't think, if you look at, say, the way the Prius took off, it became the trendy thing for everyone to buy, and suddenly people have one all over the place. That doesn't seem to have happened with certainly any particular model of electric car, and with electric cars generally, in my opinion.
I think it might happen with the Model 3. They're just having production issues, so they're...
It might do, and if you were to roll that prediction out again this year, I think it was slightly more likely, but... Yeah. So far, here's then, where, that's not.
I feel here's like, where so John has is. A little bit of an edge, though, is that he picked 2 bonus. So
yeah.
let's see how that works out.
So you know why? Because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the future.
No, that's not the truth, right? Why you did was you said, I'm not sure which one I should pick. And we both said, you should pick both. And you said, oh, yeah, because then I've got more of a chance of getting one right. So let's see how we got on with that.
So, yeah, but I was just being coy. I'm just not afraid of the future. So the tally is 0 of 2 in our predictions, right?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're keeping up. Okay, so the third one, Google create a Pixel 2.
Well, you said a new Pixel, so that's...
Right, which they have done.
Yeah, yep. That wasn't a prediction. As Jeremy pointed out in the show, that's not a prediction.
This is where it goes downhill a little bit, which I said, which is a critical and commercial success.
Yes.
The verdict on this one is... Yeah,
that's the big no. Because at that point, we also said, what does critical and commercial success be? Because you did point out in your defense that it wouldn't come out till the end of the year, October, November, whenever it was. Mm. And so there wouldn't be much time. So it's not going to be the best-selling phone of all time or anything. It's only been out a couple of months, which is fair. So we said in the top 3 selling phones in the quarter it came out. Yep. Now, it's hard to find actual sales figures for the quarter we're still in, right?
Yes.
People aren't publishing them, but... I think anyone attempting to claim that the Pixel 2 is a critical and commercial success and the best-selling phone on the market would have a very hard time justifying that.
So I'll be honest with you. Obviously, this is wrong.
Just to be clear, that's 0 for 3, right? We're admitting this. You may now argue that you deserve 0.1 of a point or something.
I believe the listeners are keeping up. It doesn't take much to keep up. If you've lost count at this point, right. You should probably listen to another show.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you should definitely be listening to this show. So I was disappointed in the Pixel 2 for 2 reasons. One is that at least in the US, the first Pixel came out and it was an exclusive for Verizon, which to me was a stupid move.
Yeah.
Same again for the Pixel 2, which is ludicrous. And I get that there's all kind of business... challenges that will relate to making it available for all of the different telcos.
No. At no point is there a business challenge in doing this. It's nothing but forced scarcity.
I think you...
It's the same reason that to get Star Trek Discovery... It's the same reason to get Star Trek Discovery, you have to go and buy CBS All Access.
You literally don't know what you're talking about. You've never been in a position to work with a major telco to bring a product to them, okay? You are talking... dog shit, okay? We can assume, which we usually do, but I imagine there was some complexity there. The second thing, yeah, frankly, that I just think the Pixel 2 is a completely underwhelming follow-up to the Pixel 1. Like, I obviously have the Pixel. And I have absolutely zero interest in upgrading. And one thing that Apple do very well is they give really tangible reasons for people to upgrade from the previous iteration to the next iteration. So I was honestly expecting more out of the Pixel 2, which is why I made that prediction. And I was universally pretty disappointed with it. Yeah. So
when you made that prediction, I thought you were going to be half correct. I didn't think you were going to get points out of it, but I thought you were going to be half correct in that it would be a critical success. I didn't think it would be in the top three or top five, even close sales-wise. But I really I had high hopes for the device from a critical perspective. And I agree with you, it was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah. The only thing that it got critical success over was the camera. And the new iPhones have been as good in the eyes of many. So
And the phrase, you know, probably the best cell phone camera on the market is nice and everything in the review, but it's not blowing anyone away.
No, you know? I mean, and the reviews of it, categorically...
reviews of the Pixel 2 have been pretty mixed. I went out and read a dozen or so just to get a sense of it, and they're all kind of, yeah, well, this is pretty good, and this is.
It was definitely a very iterative release, so I am curious if the Pixel 3 will be where they try to do a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're only going to get interesting Pixels out of Google when, you know, their HTC thing is up and running.
Ah, sure.
So
you think that's going to work? I mean, admittedly, this might be a prediction for the next show, but didn't work with Motorola, did it?
No, but people, you know, companies
they did a completely different thing with Motorola, though.
Yeah. Just because someone makes a mistake once doesn't mean they don't learn from that mistake.
I've heard about this in theory. I'm yet to see it actually happen in practice.
Just because you don't learn from mistakes doesn't mean other people don't. All right.
You're right. Google learned from the mistake of shutting down Google Reader and annoying everybody by keeping Google Plus alive, even though no one uses it. Well done.
You have PTSD from Google Reader, don't you? Good grief. What happened? That's a conversation.
That's a whole other show.
No other time. Okay. So, all right. So my final effort to reclaim victory.
Bonus prediction. Here is your chance to salvage some measure of credibility for your technical knowledge and abilities. What did you say was going to happen in 2017, John O'Bacon?
I feel like you may be setting me up. My
prediction
was
correct.
I've got a pedestal over here if you'd like to stand on it.
Now, my prediction was that Facebook would launch a VR version of Facebook that basically looked like Second Life. Now, in my defense, I'll be honest with you, at the beginning of 2017, I was a bit smug about this because, you know, the Magic 8 Ball was suggesting that, you know, signs were positive in this regard. Facebook had announced whatever Spaces, whatever that thing was called, and it was looking like they were going to do it, but it's not been launched. So I think I deserve half a point for this because I think that the reason why I think half a point is because when I predicted this, you guys were of the view that there is no chance on hell that Facebook would ever do anything like a VR version of Facebook.
And indeed, they have not.
And they are working on one. That's been announced.
Announcing that they're thinking about working on something is not a half point.
No. They're not thinking about it. They've been working on it. They've showed demos of it, right? So the fact that they've announced it and they're working on it, it just didn't ship this year. I think I deserve a half point.
You do not.
No.
Look, you fuckers know that there's going to be trading of points as we go through this, okay?
I don't think they're going to release anything in 2018 with this. I agree. Would even go as far as 2019.
I think in the next show, if you did this prediction again for 2018, I would mock you just as hard.
Yes.
And 12 months from now, I will be just as correct when they still haven't done this
thing.
I have
concurrence on both of those points.
Do you deserve a point for this, or any fraction of a point of any kind.
I deserve a half a point.
You certainly do not.
You guys thought that the notion of this was ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I still do. Yeah.
No, but you...
That
you
has not changed one fraction of 1%.
That was, I'll be honest with you, a poor choice of words. You were of the view that they would never work on something like this, and I was right about that. I deserve my half point. At least a third of a point.
This whole concept is stupid on a scale barely expressible in language, right? You're not getting any points for predicting this stupid idea that didn't happen.
What about a tenth of a point?
No.
At least a tenth of a point. You're not even going to give me any breadcrumbs. Come on, a tenth. I'm asking for a tenth of a point. Salvage
have,
my
Have
pride.
You been to facebook.com/spaces? Because I actually did forget about that. Looking at this now, you should get a half a point deducted.
We're not deducting. I'm not going into minus half a point, okay?
So bear with me. So first of all, our verdict on the Facebook thing is...
somewhat predictably.
And we've concluded that Jono's got minus a half at the end of his predictions, right?
I don't have minus a half, okay? All right. Okay. All
so
right.
Well,
all right.
Well done, Nostradamus. Good effort. No points
so
for you
the current
whatsoever.
Tally is... 0 out of 4. Okay, so it's. I feel like I might have let the side down.
It is not a brilliant showing. Obviously, Jeremy and I, hopefully, will do better.
Yes. I fear that our partnership with Gartner might not be. All right then, Langridge. Let's go to you. Okay, with your shitty, conservative, boring predictions.
The really annoying thing about this is, I was given a repeated kicking this time last year for making boring, conservative, they're obviously going to happen predictions. So, children, let's see how I actually did.
Okay, what was your first one?
Right, okay, my first prediction, someone will get compromised by a direct attack via a home assistant, an Amazon Echo or a Google Home or something like that.
Now, hang on. May the gods prevail, the verdict. Of this prediction. Yes.
Shut up. All right, yeah, that
Enjoy
didn't happen.
Enjoy some of that medicine.
Okay, fine, that didn't happen. That seemed quite plausible to me, and as far as I can tell, it hasn't happened. And I went out and looked in the news just on the off chance.
I looked as well. I do like your the auditory version of phishing. I thought it was a softball, and I am surprised that it did not happen, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
No.
I suppose are you going to get like a 10-year-old hacking your Amazon Echo and it calls you a poopy head when you're at work? Like,
no, absolutely not. I'm imagining you saying, okay, Google, buy this thing or something. And your home goes, I'm sorry, I need your account number for that. Please read your account number and PIN.
Yeah, this was never going to happen.
I still think it's gonna. Yeah. It didn't happen this year. But it seems people place an inordinate amount of trust.
It didn't happen this year, didn't it? So you think it's gonna happen, just it didn't happen this year. That sounds somewhat familiar.
I don't think I'll get a point for it.
All right then. Okay. So let's move on to your second extremely boring.
Well, I have to confess, even in retrospect and even in my own defense, this one was really boring. And really disappointing, too, I have to say. So, I said, Oracle will buy someone who's a big cloud name. I was thinking, you know, in terms of sort of Docker or someone like that. And they'll do some big cloud thing of their own and no one will care about it. Now, they did make a thing called the Autonomous Database Service, which I don't know whether that... which they did and no one cares about, but Oracle do a thing, probably doesn't qualify me for half a point. And as far as I can tell, they didn't buy anybody. They bought Apiary, whoop though.
Right.
And that's about it. So, pretty much a no here. I mean,
The verdict, therefore, let's not forget the noise, is... Excellent.
I can't have half a point for the Autonomous Database Service thing.
No, so I kind of did think they would make a larger acquisition now that they were done, you know, digesting some of their larger previous acquisitions. But they will release a big public cloud thing. Oracle Public Cloud was released in 2011. You were right, no one cared, but that was a long time ago. They released a direct competitor to AWS in 2015. So that's the prediction was about as timely as a Baconio review.
Dude, that was freaking cold.
And still didn't get it.
Okay, so the score so far is
Shut up. Yes,
we've had 6 predictions and we've got 0.
Even by our admittedly low standards, this is not going well.
I wasn't kidding about the umbrella thing. Seriously, right? And my third prediction, which I am personally very sad about. Apple will put service workers into Safari. And the
verdict was... Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay.
Now, as I understand it, what I'm now supposed to do is go, but they've announced that they're going to, and then grovel for half a point, but I've got more dignity than that. It didn't happen this year. No point for me.
I don't know.
Literally groveling for half a point on the first prediction.
I don't know if in the entire duration of the show I have cared about a prediction less.
Yeah, this is just... I can't put into words how boring of a prediction this is. Like,
I will say, they are like the only browser that doesn't support it on top of it.
Correct.
Even Internet Explorer does.
Yes.
So I don't think I
can command my fingers to type in the words into Google to learn more about this. Like my fingers are just rejecting because it's like my brain's basically like just standing in the way saying, no. Too uninteresting. Okay.
Well, I do like the service worker grid site that shows you which parts are working, yeah. And it's all colored in for every browser and just a gray bar all the way down.
Yeah, just vertical gray line with Safari logo in it over and over and over and over again. It's really annoying.
For people who missed our predictions show and possibly me, what's a service worker?
This is the ability to make websites work like apps, essentially. So they work offline. You can do push notifications to them, so on and so forth. You can... depending on how conspiracy theory-y you feel about this, Apple are not doing it because they don't want you to be able to build something which has all the power of an app but isn't in their app store.
Right. Yeah.
But
it doesn't seem much of a conspiracy theory. It seems just fact, right?
Well, but they swear blind that's not the case and they're going to do it and it's coming. It just hasn't happened yet.
Well, and Chrome, who obviously Google is the other one with the large app store, is leading this. So it's...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, they swear blind that that's the case. Well, I swear blind that my hair is by choice. I deliberately cut it this way. It's got nothing to do with my hair falling out. Okay.
Well, good point, Yul Brynner. Okay, so I scored...
I mean...
Yul
Brynner,
no
really?
I know. Who else is famous and bald?
You were saying Ray Reardon.
I was
which
not
no one else
Ray
is going to understand either.
No one, but yeah, you do actually look quite like Ray Reardon, I think.
Well, someone thought that I looked like Kevin Spacey, and I don't want that anymore. So,
anyway. You do not, indeed.
That escalated that. Quickly.
Right, okay. So now, historically, what happens here is Jono and I do predictions, and we get them terribly, terribly wrong, and then Jeremy blows us away by being right. So let's see how that worked.
That has been the historical precedent.
You better do well, Jeremy, because we had 7 predictions and none of them are right.
We've scored naught so far, so we're looking for, out of our 10 predictions for the Bad Voltage team, we're looking to salvage a bit of dignity here.
All right, Jeremy, number one.
All right, so my first one was a portion or all of Canonical will be sold.
And the verdict is...
Survey says...
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, some products and projects were dropped. They did a reorg. They announced an IPO. So there was a lot of business-related changes there. But
there were a lot of planes circling over Heathrow on this front, but none of it happened in 2017.
Right.
To be fair to you, Jeremy, on this one as well, if I remember rightly, we all pretty much agree with you on this one.
Yes.
We were
all
expecting this to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm somewhat surprised that this has not happened.
There have been a couple of things where we said them and everyone went, well, yeah, that's just a softball. Obviously, that's going to happen. And so far, none of them have.
I know. I was quite sure I was going to get at least a half point on this one. And
It's almost as if we are somehow standing in the way of these things. Going to get an angry email from Mark Shuttleworth saying, you bastards, why did you have to say that?
otherwise, we'd have IPO'd. I think the thing is, we're not just wrong, we are anti-right. Jeremy, second connection.
I might propose that we deduct a half point from you just for that statement.
You know what? Given that Jeremy's a guy who's literally never liked a single thing on the Bad Voltage Forum, I'm not surprised he's so negative about our predictions.
Okay.
That is an actual true fact.
It is. I discovered this a little while ago. Jeremy not liked anything at all.
He actually took a screenshot of the admin interface and sent it to the group.
Amazing. Anyway. All right, number two.
All right, so the next one was... mobile app installs will decline for basically the first time ever.
And
our verdict is... No, hasn't happened. I mean, again, it's a little bit difficult to find figures on this because 2017 isn't finished.
Right.
You can find an awful lot of predictions. You can find an awful lot of things which are, you know, mobile app figures for 2017. But then in tiny writing, it says prediction. It was done in March or something.
So it definitely seems like they have decelerated as a percentage compared to past years, but they have definitely grown, which was my prediction.
Yeah, the rate of change is slowing down.
Yes.
So your second derivative of app sales, yes, has maybe gone into reverse, but that's a long way from them actually falling, I think.
So I'm going to blame the fact that Apple did not put service workers into Safari for this.
Yeah, there
it's you the see? Circle of life.
It redeems us all. Yes, it does. Okay, so that's a naught. So Jeremy's currently on 0-2. So we have one final prediction.
So bonus for the win, hopefully.
Yes, here it comes.
And you guys laughed at this one, I will add. Linux desktop market share will break 5%.
And our survey said it did not.
Now, I would like to point out here, net market share did go over 5% for 1 month, but I believe they announced it was some kind of a data cleanliness issue. And WC3 is at 5.5 right now. So the web savvy community is at 5.5. I'll take that as a minor mental victory.
As far as I can tell, everything is hovering sort of around 2%. It's about the same as it was. Steam's actually gone down, but that's as a percentage of Steam. The number of Linux Steam users is probably still the same, but there's been a shitload of new Steam Windows users, particularly from China. And so the overall percentage on Steam has gone down, actually. But that's essentially an artifact. Jezza attempted to claim that Chromos is desktop Linux, for which he was mocked. But even if we allow that... Even if we allow that, it's still not 5%.
No, that barely gets it to 4, realistically.
Yeah, so we're not there yet. No, 5%.
So can I blame this on Canonical not getting acquired and therefore having to drop Unity? So I think...
Despite the best efforts of Dan Rabbit and the Super Readers, we are not over 5% yet.
We are not.
We'll get there.
We are not. It may be because they dropped Unity. It is startling after dropping Unity how many people suddenly love Unity who didn't say word one about it when everyone was having a go at it. Let's say bring Unity back. You'd almost think that the open source community as a whole only do things when they can complain that something has changed.
You are. Yeah. I just. I don't even know where to begin anymore. Like, you are such a grumpy old man. It's just
amount of jam in your donut, not. Much like the amount of predictions we got correct. Which I think this is a precedent, right? We have not been without at least one correct prediction ever in the show.
Yeah. We've never been this wrong.
You know what? I just realized something. You know what's going to happen now? Do you know how annoyingly smug Lunduke is going to be about this?
Oh, well, I left the show and you guys didn't get anything right anymore.
Well, that would be the case if he was the one that was usually correct, but I don't remember his predictions being outliers and always correct.
No.
Well,
it's all about like the Flat Earth Society and stuff like that, isn't it?
So I have to say, chaps, this is disappointing that we're this rubbish, but
10 predictions, zero. Right.
But we will redeem ourselves in the next show when we will do predictions for 2018, which will be correct.
Yes, maybe. You know, there's a lesson in all of this. Don't listen to our predictions.
The lesson is we are wrong, indeed.
Yeah, that was just not good.
At one point, we flirted with the idea of kind of Bad Voltage being this like real source of insight and wisdom, and I think we proved that that's not possible.
I think we're a source of insight and wisdom. You just got to, you know, stand on the opposite side of the wall from us.
But you know what? The next show. After the holidays.
We'll be after the... we should point out that we're not doing a show on December the 26th. If you were hoping to hear a new show on Boxing Day, sorry, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We will be doing our predictions for 2018.
We will.
So,
redemption, baby. Redemption.
And I would be interested... This is your chance to make your own predictions ahead of time. And if there are any good ideas, we might, e.g., steal them and use them in the show as our own. So if you've
got
any thoughts...
Because then if we get it wrong, we can blame the person who made the original prediction.
Don't say that out loud.
Oh, shit, sorry.
We'd love to hear your predictions in advance of ours. So if you go to community.badvoltage.org, you can leave your predictions for 2018 there.
Yes.
You can't possibly be more wrong than us. Go for it.
It's literally not possible.
It is actually not possible. Deadly.
Right.
Alrighty.
So have a very good Christmas, chaps. Yep. And have a very good Christmas
Happy New
all
Year.
Of you listeners.
Yep.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you on the other side.
See you in 2018.
We'll see you in 2018.